Welcome back to the Heartland Pod. My name is Adam Summer, and I am your host. This is a Thursday edition, August 11th, of the Heartland Pod, and so it's a Let's Have a Chat edition of the show. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for stopping by. If you are new to the Heartland Pod, thanks for joining us. We're happy to have you. Make sure you check us out at heartlandpod.com, where you can look for our Patreon subscription link to help us change the conversation. $2, $5, $10, $20 a month, whatever you would feel led to do. We're happy to have support. And, you know, just really, really means a lot to us when folks do subscribe over there and know that not everybody can and not everybody will. And that's fine. But everybody who does, we really, really appreciate y'all over there. The reality is that the folks who work on these shows, we have six different hosts and producers and folks that work on all of these shows, if you put everybody together. And all of us have jobs and things going on in families and whatnot. And we all do this together because we think it's important. I mean, it's really that simple, right? And so when you do go to Patreon, if you do subscribe to our stuff, that's what you're supporting. You're really supporting, you know, we've taken what is kind of, you know, basically a hobby, right? Or just an obsession with politics in general. And we've tried to turn it into something that is helpful, that is useful, that, you know, is hopefully even a little bit entertaining. Maybe helps you have some entertainment value, but truly is informative. And that's really the point of what we're trying to do here, is bring information. The local level is where stuff happens. The local level is where most of the things that impact your daily life, most of those things are being decided at the local level. And so we want to raise that up, and we want to raise up voices in and around communities that need to be raised up, whether they're running for office or in office, or somebody who's just, you know, interesting, whether it's an author or, you know, musician or somebody who's making a real impact. And today's guest certainly falls into that category. It's Reverend Susan Shumway. She is running for Missouri's House of Representatives. She has run before. She's running again. She is running in the Missouri 105th District, which is basically it's Lake St. Louis area around the Dardenne Prairie. So if you're not familiar over there, it's just off kind of the corner of 70 and 40. There's kind of area over there. So she's an ordained minister. She's very interesting, and I had a great time chatting with her and getting to know her. And I look forward to chatting with her again. And she's got a great event. St. Charles County Dems have a great event coming up. She talks about it in the show. So enjoy. Here's my chat with Reverend Shumway.
Let's have a chat.
All right, we're here for a chat, and I have got Susan Shumway. Am I saying that correct? Is it Shumway?
It is Shumway.
All right. The Reverend Susan Shumway, who is running for the Missouri House of Representatives. She is an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ, comes to Missouri a while back and lives over in O'Fallon, has been involved in St. Charles County Equity Coalition, St. Charles Progressive Democrats, and is an active member of Grace United Church of Christ in O'Fallon. So, Reverend Shumway, thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for coming on the pod. How you doing?
I am good. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
We, those who listen often will know that we sometimes have a problem with blue language on this show from time to time. So this will be one of our most G-rated, I promise. And we'll keep it clean. So my first question to you is this: you're running for Missouri House. You're a ordained minister. You're from what is typically, oftentimes might be seen of as a Republican area for a lot of folks, but you're running as a Democrat. So I thought, and maybe I'm crazy here, but I thought that progressives and Democrats were all godless, devil-worshipping communists who persecute Christians. So what gives? Why are you breaking that mold?
No. I mean, some people would call me godless and, you know, all those adjectives you just used. I have been, I try not to use too much religious language outside of the church, but I find myself doing it anyway. But I've been very blessed to be part of a denomination that is very focused on activism, that's very focused on social justice, that is very the denominational is liberal leaning. So it's just very natural for
Yep.
me to run as a Democrat.
I always say I wound up being a progressive because I grew up reading the Red Words. I mean, it just sort of, if you start modeling that kind of behavior, and I'm not trying to say I have perfect behavior. I don't, but if you just model the basics, right? Help people who need help, give food to people who need food, sit down and talk and eat with people who you might not like or might not know or might not understand, and don't make decisions based on what you think about people. Learn the people and make decisions based on the fact that every person deserves love and respect. And if you start there, it's pretty easy, I think, but maybe I'm crazy.
Absolutely. And that's where I started. I started with, stepping up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And yet at the same time, when I look back over my life, it's like I've been doing a lot of these things. I can remember in eighth grade, how's that for a wild thing? A friend
Sure.
of mine said, "Hey, come serve with me at this political fundraiser that, my friends do." And I'm like, okay, why not? And we had a blast.
So why do you feel
And
led to run for office? What takes you from your day to day to this remarkably disruptive thing for your life?
it is very disruptive. And again, I find myself going religious, but isn't that what Jesus did? He disrupted the daily life.
Yeah.
And I started out not never intending to run for public office. I started out with somebody asking me and saying yes, because 2 years ago, I did not want to see Justin Hill run unopposed.
Right. This is
Yeah.
not your first trip down the path, right? This is your
No, it
second.
isn't. He was just so belittling and dismissive of
Yep.
people, including some people who went to his office with moms demand action. And he was going to be unopposed if I hadn't stepped up and run. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I'm going to do it with the understanding that 2020 is a time to get my name out there. It's time to figure out what's going on in this whole political process from a different perspective and go from there. So I always knew that I was going to run in 2022. And
Has it shifted your perspective? You said seeing it from a different angle, that the political process. Has it shifted your just the way you look at things just by that even just the one trip through the process?
absolutely. Because I thought I knew a lot of how our political process worked, and the ins and the outs, and the attention to detail that I have found in the whole run is incredible. And I was also very shocked because I belong to a denomination that has, in general, a very high level of education in it. And I have had so many people with their master's degree come to me and go, "Oh, you won in August. So great. You're our new state rep." And I'm like, "No, that was the
If
primary.
it were
Oh,
only
what's
that
that?"
easy.
Exactly. And the whole, do you know that the St. Charles Election Authority is just off of I-70 at Salt Lick Road? People never knew that.
Right,
And I was
right.
able to say to them, "Oh yeah, you can go early vote there." "Oh, well, that's right close to me. Why can't I not go do that?" And just the level of the little things that I realized I knew that people just don't know out there.
Yeah, that really is I think it is something that gets taken for granted by folks who are constantly paying attention, whether you're a political junkie or you're you just are involved in politics, or if you're someone like me who, I'm a lawyer by day, so like politics matters to me because the laws that the state passes impact what I do for a living. It impacts my clients. So I, when I was younger, I really didn't pay that much attention. And then I started noticing more and more, you know, this change happened and now I have to integrate it into my practice or think about it, you know, differently. And I went, man, I should probably pay more attention to what's going on in Jefferson City. You know, I pay attention to the national stuff, but not the local stuff. And the deeper and deeper I got, the more and more invested I became. And then eventually now I, you know, host a podcast that focuses on largely focuses on the state of Missouri. So it turned into quite a thing. But well, what's the issue for you that drives you forward? Like, what is it that no matter how bad the day is, no matter how frustrated it is, no matter how many doors people don't want to talk to you at, what is it that can get you to go to the next door and knock again? Hey, folks, Adam Sommer here. Just wanted to remind you, you can get signed up for our Patreon. You can get links to all of our shows, information about our hosts and what we do over at heartlandpod.com. Sign up for our Patreon. You get extra episodes, extra access. You can also follow us on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and of course on Twitter. We love to interact over there with @TheHeartlandPod on Twitter. Just search for us and find the three leaves. Any place you find podcasts or social media will be there. Give us a rating if you can. 5 stars. Really appreciate it. And now let's get back to the show.
Okay, this is going to sound so cheesy, but the person that's left out of it.
Yeah.
I
don't think that's cheesy at all. I mean, that's a great, explain that.
Well, and you know, it's if I went biblical, it would be the lost sheep of the flock.
Sure.
If I go, you know, politically or scholastically, both my kids have needed 504s and IEPs, special education. And I started learning how to really speak out and advocate for them as they went through grade school. Oh, there's no problem. Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Through middle school. Well, yeah, we see a problem, but, you know, I don't really think it needs kind of services. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know, and I started speaking up and out more as you know, within the educational system, and finding all these kids that are left out of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could look at healthcare and all these people left out of the process. You know, I still work in healthcare. I've worked in healthcare for over 29 years. From admitting, putting myself through college and then seminary to working as a chaplain. And right now I work mainly as a hospice chaplain. And there was a patient today who just does not have the functional capacity to lift her hand up on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you do when you need something? Well, they don't have anybody to sit right there and advocate for them, to the person who doesn't have health insurance, to the people who are left in prisons with or released from prisons who have no clothes, no nothing as they leave, no yeah. gas for a car, if they even have a car, no food, no shelter. You know, it just goes on and on.
So what do you think it is about you? You've mentioned you have, you know, this background in healthcare. You are an ordained minister. You have this advocacy with your children, which is a world that I understand very well. If folks who listen to the show a lot have heard me talk about that a ton. I've got a special needs daughter. We have to deal with the IEP meetings. My wife was literally our district's 504 coordinator for a year. So it's a language I speak very well. Yeah. And you couldn't be more right about, you know, people don't really understand the process and, you know, they don't understand that you have to be your own advocate. And then if you can't, you have to find somebody who can advocate for you. And it's very frustrating from that standpoint. And so that, you know, what makes you with that experience the right choice for your district over your opponent? You've got an opponent in this race, Justin Hicks, who is, you know, a different opponent from last time. And why you over him? Why are you the best fit for your district? And that's the 108th for folks who, I didn't say that earlier, so folks are curious, the 108th.
The 108th, which, if you don't know your district, is basically the Lake St. Louis area.
Right.
With a little, I don't know what to call it. I call it Cape Cod because I'm from Massachusetts, and it's just like the Cape that sticks out there into Dardenne and O'Fallon.
Right.
What about me is, I think I'm the perfect one for the district due to the history that I have of advocating for the person that is left out, the person that's been left behind. My district has been very traumatized by Justin Hill in how he was so dismissive of you if you did not agree with him, by pushing you away, putting you down. And one of the things that I am gifted in is pastoral care, is in the relationship, is in the listening and the healing. And I know I will not be the fit for everyone. I do promise to listen to people. Whether we agree or not, that's, you know, hopefully they'll agree that I'm the best candidate, but I'll listen to people.
Well, that's what I was just, that's what struck me was the way you're describing it is that, you know, the juxtaposition of you versus the other choice is that you're not interested in whether or not people agree with you or not. You're interested in whether or not people need access to what you can help them have access to, and that the rest of it can be water under the bridge. If they need help and services and assistance, then that should be the thing that comes first, not whether or not they agree with you on, you know, a national political issue, or, you know, whether or not Donald Trump should or shouldn't have been impeached or whatever, right? Like that should be an irrelevant factor as to whether or not somebody needs help.
Well, and isn't that why we're supposed to have government, is to help us help each other in a
right,
way
right.
When, you know, I can't help somebody, but I can lead you to the governmental service that can.
Right.
From a larger scale and perspective.
So how can folks best find you? One thing that we want folks to do is if they're in a district where, it, you know, if there's nobody running or if it's going to be an easy victory, you know, for their preferred candidate, they can maybe try to help out and do postcards or knock doors or text or call or whatever. So how do folks find you to be a part of that if they want to?
The easiest way is my website, revsueforyou.com. That's REVSUE, the number 4, the letter U.com. I have a contact, how to contact me, how to volunteer for me. I am looking for people to knock doors. I am looking for people to help with postcards. And I actually have a fun fundraiser coming up on the 18th in 10 days. I am doing a drag queen bingo.
Drag queen bingo.
Yes. The minister in the field is doing drag queen bingo.
That sounds fantastic. Where is that? That's on August 18th?
Yes. It's going to be at Rendezvous Cafe.
Drag queen bingo, Rendezvous Cafe, August 18th. I mean, that's, we got a lot of folks out that direction in the eastern side of this state that listen to this show. So if you're on the eastern side of this, of Missouri, and you're like, I have nothing on the 18th, I mean, come on. It's a fundraiser for a great candidate. It sounds like a great time. I mean, I'm jealous because I know I can't make it there on the 18th. I'm like blown away by how much I wish I could be at this thing. That's very, very cool.
Well, and if I have to do fundraisers, which I do, I am going to have fun at my fundraisers.
I love it.
I'm going to do meet and greets at a store that, at an ice cream parlors. I mean, and call it Sundays with Susan.
There you go. There you go.
I'm going to have fun.
Sunday. So you're close it out here. You're not originally from Missouri. You're a transplant here. So what have you found? You've been here for a while, though. So what have you found about this state that not only keeps you here, but makes you want to be a part of its government?
I have found the perfect medium. I'm originally from Massachusetts. I have lived in the state of Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So Missouri is a nice middle. I have found beautiful landscapes, beautiful country that I am in love with. I have found some rural areas, suburban areas. I'm more of a suburbanite, rural kind of person, and I love that.
I'll tell you, you probably just blew some people's minds by saying that Missouri is kind of a middle ground.
I know. Well, in terms of politics, yeah, probably not. But in terms of the country and land side.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Reverend Shumway, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for coming on the pod, and we'll track your campaign, and we wish you the best of luck. And I look forward to talking with Representative Shumway on the backside.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.